Today, it is the biggest day where we'll be finalizing with this sermon on preparation. And I feel that if you miss tonight, you are missing the year. I did mention to you to say elevation before preparation is a setup for destruction. There are so many people who God raised them, who God called them, but their preparation was not that strong. And there are so many people who God is raising up, but their preparation is not strong. Tonight is your opportunity to understand how God operates and works. So once again, you're most welcome. Before I take you into the reading of the word and to the explanation of the word, I want to once again welcome you into a realization that you are in a prophetic ministry. And a prophetic ministry, there is an outcry. Okay? And that outcry is also echoing tonight. And this outcry says, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare. Prepare for the way of the Lord. Now, in Matthew 3, verse 3, which we read, Scripture says, prepare. All right? Can you read it?
For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight.
Read again.
For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight.
So we shared how God wants things to be done. And I did mention to you to say, the ways of God are very unique. But the Scripture says, prepare for them. So, if God wants you to prepare for his ways, it's so possible that God may have a way through you, but he might find you unprepared. I once told you that God told me before, he said, there are so many people that I would like to elevate, but they are not what? Prepared. I gave you my own example that I have seen some of the sons and daughters I work with in ministry where I would feel, a comparing, a spirit to say, that person, give him this position to work with you or give him this particular anointing. But when I come close to that person, I realized they were not ready. Much as the anointing was ready, or the elevation was ready, but the person was not ready. And I've seen so many times that when even I was about to release that to that person, but I discovered mentally they were not ready. They could be ready just on the pulpit. And most people think when they are ready on the pulpit, then it means they are ready in ministry. It's completely opposite. Haven't you wondered why? When God was calling people in the Bible, he didn't call foolish people. They might be poor from poor backgrounds, but these people were not just ordinary. They were prepared mentally. Am I talking to you? So I have seen that. Why? Because most people, they judge elevation with history. They say, I've been so loyal. Listen. God does not reward history. God rewards preparation. You didn't hear me. God does not reward history. God does not reward effort. He rewards preparation. Again and again, Jesus said it. He said, you are a rock. He said, you are Petra. And he said, on this rock, I will build my church. You have to be a solid thing for God to do something upon you. He said, no one builds a house on the sand. And that was Jesus talking. He said, nobody builds a house on the sand. So in the world of the spirit, prophetically, preparation is a foundation for elevation. There is no way God can put something upon you if the preparation is not strong. Of course, can that not happen? It can happen. But I can promise you, it becomes a setup for destruction. I gave you an example, an abstract example, between King Saul and King David. We see how King David was prepared. We see that King David had a moment facing lions. He was abandoned, he was rejected, and nobody knew about him. He was isolated, he was all alone. But that was a very good example or trait for one to know that you are being prepared. The moment you start seeing yourself being ignored, being forgotten, nobody taking you serious, you must realize that that moment, God is up to something. Whenever God was preparing someone, he didn't prepare them with a group. He isolated them. The world began to hate them. The world began to ignore them. This is a moment where so many people end up giving up. But this is a season of preparation. Did you notice when Jesus was being prepared in the wilderness, he was all alone? There was nobody. Did you notice when Moses was being prepared? He had to run away from the palace and he went into a far land where he was a shepherd boy, taking care of the animals. It is that place where he met God. When God said, take off your shoes, the place you are standing is a holy ground. He wasn't with the crowd. He was all alone. When God is preparing a person, he makes them to go through a moment where the effort is not known. People ignore what they do. You feel like you're all alone in your world. And that's how God does it when he's preparing somebody. And this is what God is telling me to inform you, that some of you, you've been in this process of preparation and you had no idea. But time of your manifestation has come. Somebody shot preparation. Now, as I did mention to you, I spoke to you two types of preparations. Remember? I said number one is what? You remember what I said? Heto imazo. And I said it means what? This is where God begins to prepare a person. The word heto imazo, it means preparing a person to go and conquer and keep the territory. Do you understand there are so many people who have conquered territories, but they never kept them? In the military, it's not enough to conquer a territory. It is enough to keep it. Because the opponent may come and counterattack, and you can lose what you already won. Do you know how many people, they got a breakthrough and they lost it? Do you know how many people got their healing and they lost it? Do you know how many got their deliverance and they lost it? Because they did not heto imazo. Heto imazo, when God prepares you to conquer and keep what you have conquered. And this is what separates King Saul and King David. They are both made kings, and yet King Saul could not keep his kingdom. As for David, God says, I solemnly swear, your kingdom shall be everlasting. How? How? Heto imazo. David was a man who accepted preparation. He never ran away the process. He embraced preparation. He knew when God was preparing him. When God was preparing him, when he was all alone, when God was hiding him, he didn't say, why have people forgotten me? He said, he shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. He knew God was hiding him. I shall hide. He said so many times, he measures hiding under the rock of Almighty. He understood the secret. And this is what so many people do not understand when we are speaking. Now, can I go ahead a little bit? Can I express something to you? And let me say something, because tonight someone will be prepared. My God, Father, I pray that your people understand your word. Thank you, Jesus. So when you see, so King David, he's prepared. Scripture tells us so many places. It says that his own brothers didn't like him. Am I talking to you? His own brothers called him a man of pride. His own father did not put him on a list. When the prophet said, call all your children, he called all of them, and some were soldiers. They were in the military. He sent a message for them to come back. But he could not send a message to call a boy who was feeding the sheep, because in his mind, he had canceled him. In society, there is a word which I want you to memorize. It is known as cancel culture. It's known as what? You make this to where people canceled you. Sometimes when things are moving well, some people may go behind your door and report you badly to the people who they know they can assist you, because all they're trying to do is to cancel you. And this is more even common in ministry. There is so much cancel culture. There are very few people who make it against cancel culture. You're going to be canceled. You are alive, but you are dead. You are buried. Now imagine that David is alive, yet he's canceled. His father brings in a will, and on the names of the children there, he's not there. The prophet comes, and the man is not even appearing there. The prophet says, no, there is one that is missing. He says, there's only one. He's a shepherd boy. He says, bring that one over here. You see, when you are hidden, your announcement will be made by God. And then, listen to this. And then, the prophet says, we will not sit until he comes. The day God will announce you. Somebody say with me, say in the mighty name of Jesus. I accept. My preparation. Listen to me. When God is preparing, I'm teaching the things that I have gone through. Society has canceled me. Society several times has rejected me. But whenever such type of things are happening, I always know there is something that God is preparing me for. And this is what has helped me to be who I am today. Say with me, say preparation. Do not treat life just like everyone. You must discern your seasons. You must know what's happening around me. Why all of a sudden there is silence around my life? Everybody seems not to even care. When you go through that, I have gone through a series of preparations. And every preparation I go through, there is something that God wants me to become. Before every level in my life, there is always a preparation. It may come through isolation. It may come through attacks. But God will always prepare me. And no wonder now, whatsoever can happen around me or whatsoever can be said about me, it doesn't bother me. Because I have spent years of being prepared. I am prepared for the worst. Say preparation again. Say that word. Say preparation. Are you following? Now, I've mentioned this to you. That when God is preparing you, most people do not understand this. Everyone is winning battles, but there are very few people who are designing victories that will last. Everyone is talking about winning battles, but there are very few who are preparing for victories that will stay forever. Me, the day I was delivered, until today, I kept my deliverance. Until today, I'm not talking about one deliverance. No. I'm talking about anything else, financially, everything else. There was a case in my family, very strong one. Nobody was making it. And I would sit down and look at my uncles and look at my aunties and look at my brothers. Everyone else in the family was affected by this spirit. And I said, I'm going to break loose. Trust you, me. I said, I'm going to what? I said, I'm going to break loose. And I said, come out. And ever since the case was broken, it has never attacked me again. May this be your portion. May you receive permanent victory. I'm telling you, the biggest thing that I want you to understand here is preparation. Now, tonight we'll be talking about the three anointings on preparation. Number one, the shaking anointing. Say the shaking anointing. Now, I'm going to read the scripture because of time. All right. In Haggai 2, verse 6 to 7, can you read it?
For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts.
So thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth. The word shake is the word rush in Hebrew, which means to tremble. It also means to disconnect. Now, this is the type of shaking. Can you come over here, Grace? Yeah, just hold your phone. Stand up. All right. Now, you see this type of shaking? You see that? What has happened to her phone? Exactly. Now, scripture says what? I will do what?
I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I'll fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts.
Now, when you go again to the book of Hebrews, it also speaks about shaking. Are you here, right? So, God speaks of shaking. Now, this type of shaking, please. I want you to see something here. I will shake, and I want you to see something there. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Now, listen to this. Did you hear this? That God will use a shaking to make people to come to him. Did you hear that? God will use what?
A
now. Okay. So when God is preparing you for a calling, like some of you here, you could never be in this ministry. There was a problem. It is that problem that made you to come to the desire. Can I go ahead? Somebody say preparation. In Hebrews 12 verse 26, scripture says, and I want you to read it, it says what?
Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven.
Did you hear that? So God uses a shaking. Now, what do we mean when we say a shaking? Some of you here, your marriages are shaking. Am I talking to you? Some of you, your finances are shaking. Now, in verse 27 of the same chapter, the Bible says, can you hear this part? I want you to hear this part.
Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain.
So you see from the verse, can we demonstrate again, right? Now, bring your book. So, the removal of things. You see that? Now, what has happened to what he was holding? It has fell down. Now, when God is rash in Hebrew, when God is using this shaking, so, listen to me, and I want you to understand here very importantly. God help us. There are two types of shaking. When God is preparing you, sometimes God can shake you. And that shaking can make you even pray more. It makes you see God even more and look for and depend so much on God than before. In the course, God sees he's ready. I have got pastors today who didn't come as pastors. They came because their wives were looking for the fruit of the womb. I've got pastors today who, when they were coming to the ministry, they came to the ministry because they had a financial, there was a shaking. Through that, they sought God, they fasted, they prayed until they got prepared for ministry. So some shakings that you are facing, they may look like it's just a shaking. No, God would allow the enemy to shake you. God told Satan, he said, you can touch Job. Do anything you want. And that was the shaking of the Lord. The devil took everything from Job, but Job never left his faith. Amen. I want you to say with me, say, help me, God. Say it again, say, help me, God. That shaking that was happening, it was a shaking rush. There was a shaking around his life. I promise you, if Job had fallen into that, we wouldn't be talking about Job today as a whole sermon. He's the most preached man on funerals, most preached man where sicknesses are, the most preached man where people are stressing, Job. Am I talking to you? So if there is a shaking that is happening around you, do not give up. I have gone through shakings. And they made me to be who I am today. My thinking is no longer the same prophet who was thinking 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years. Every moment I am improving. And my thinking is different because I am being made. There are shakings I've gone through. These are anointings. God can cause a shaking. If you're not careful, that's a place people fall. That's a place where people give up. If you are strong, there's restoration. Amen. Job never gave up. Some of you right now, you're going through the shaking. As I'm talking to you right now, things are there is a shaking. Guess what? If you refuse to give up, there's an elevation in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, I summon your elevation. Do you know? Do you know the Bible says God restored the life of Job how many times? His life was restored drastically. Everything just changed. His life became more better than he was before. But he had to overcome the shaking. The Bible says, once more I will shake. Before I only shook the earth, but now even the heavens. What's the meaning? Before it was just earthquakes. God would just shake the earth. Mountains would just shake. Earthquakes. But God says, even the things of heaven. Now the Bible says what? It says, you and I, we're of heaven. Now God says, I'm even shaking things of my kingdom. I'm shaking. So that whatsoever is not supposed to stay must fall. There are some characters around you which are supposed to fall. There is a laziness. Right now, some of you, you're no longer praying like before. You are very okay until a problem comes. And the laziness will be shaken out. Do not allow for shakings like that to happen for you to be strong in prayer. So number one, it is what you call the rush, the shaking in the spirit where God shakes. God can shake the whole church like this. The Bible says, I will shake so that those that can fall must fall. My friend, if you have stood in this ministry until today, you are strong. Because our church has gone through a lot of shakings. So I'm here, prophet. So the church can be shaken. Families can be shaken. Finances can be shaken. Your life can be shaken. Your marriage can be shaken. It's a preparation. Number two. Let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 31. And we're going to go into the anointing of waiting. Say the anointing of waiting.
But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
If you check the word wait, is the word cover. It's Q-A-V-A. Cover. In Hebrew, maybe it sounds hava or something like that. That word does not mean passive waiting. We're saying, one day a miracle is going to happen. No. The word there, if you check the Hebrew meaning, it actually means active participation, eagerly. Where you are eagerly, you are, when you are saying you're waiting, it's like where there is a visitor that is coming and you're waiting for the visitor and you keep on going on the window to check, is he coming now? Not just beginning, hallelujah. One day God is going to do it. No. This is an active participation. But can you imagine those who wait? Meaning God wants you to wait. Now, when God is preparing a person, he may want you to wait. But this does not mean you should be waiting in your house saying it will happen one time. No, you should be waiting with anticipation, actively believing and knowing it's going to happen now. And in this, so many people fail. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. This, so many people, what? There are women who are not yet married. God has put them on preparation. Because the type of marriage that is coming ahead of them, it will shake the whole world. It will be a wonderful couple. And God says, wait. And then God is preparing you. And they don't even know. They think it's an aunt in the village that tidy them. I know it's my aunt. It could be. But sometimes it's going to be God. Have you noticed that Hannah, she was barren, and the scripture doesn't say it was the devil? Scripture says, for the Lord made her barren. For what? The Lord made her barren. It didn't end with Hannah. It can happen even now. Until the day Hannah said, what will be born out of me, I shall give to you. God said, hey, your waiting is over. Am I talking to someone right here? Until she said what? God waited. Not only that, but until her prayer life was ignited. Scripture says she was even praying in language nobody would understand. She's the first woman who spoke in tongues in the Old Testament. She's the first woman where the man of God said, are you drunk? Because her words could not be understood. And it's the same statement which was spoken in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Ghost came on the Pentecost, people said, are you drunk? For we cannot understand what you're talking about. The woman went into a realm. She waited until she went into a realm of the Spirit. Scripture says, not only that, but she was giving every year. Read your scripture about Hannah. She was giving every year, sowing seeds. Giving, putting, raising up an altar. She never gave up until God says, you are ready to give birth to a prophet. Somebody shout preparation. All that scripture tells us how she was being what? Scorned. How people were talking about her. How people were laughing at her. How Penina would actually laugh at her. But all those things, they were part of preparation. She would give birth to a major prophet by the name of Samuel, who shall be a prophet that will anoint King David, who will anoint King Saul. He shall be a great prophet that is going to change the course of Israel for eternity. And this is why God had to prepare the woman. Some of the people writing that are watching me, God says wait, because there is a preparation. There is something great that will be born out of you. And I prophesy in the name of Jesus, nothing is going to stop this movement. Shout preparation. The Lord spoke to me to tell you, the enemy will try to make you frustrated in the delay. He will say, God has forgotten you. You are wasting your time. But the Holy Spirit says, I am not delaying your destiny. I am deepening your capacity for it. The longer the delay, the greater the destiny. Are you allowing your impatience to push you into premature action? Or are you trusting God's timing? Waiting does not mean you just be in your home. I heard somebody telling me, Papa, I said, oh, we prayed for this until now, it's not happening. And he said, Papa, I'm waiting on God. I said, listen, waiting on God does not mean staying in your house and saying we are waiting on God. I said, no, there must be something that you should be doing. Participate in the waiting. Am I talking to someone right here? Participate. Hannah didn't just sit in the house, I'm waiting upon the Lord. No, she was sowing seeds. She was in the temple. She was again and again going to the temple where a man of God, Eli, was. She was in prayer. There was an active participation. You cannot just be saying you're waiting. You must be joking. Scripture says, those who wait, we read that. It says, those who wait on the Lord, they will not just stay in their homes. They shall renew their strength. When they see, like, you know what? I've been waiting for this miracle. It's not happening. And my faith is going down. They will renew their strength. They'll go in fasting. They'll give. They will do. They will renew their strength. Marahanda kapaha. You know, this teaching is going to make someone walk out from the waiting. You didn't hear me. This teaching will make someone walk out from the what? It will make somebody walk out from the shaking and from the waiting. Somebody say from the waiting, from the shaking. And number three, the third anointing, it is known as the anointing of the downloads. This is a moment where you are being prepared. You might still be in trouble or you might still be in a problem, but then you begin to receive revelations. You begin to see something. There is something in you that begins to come. Did you hear that? Did you notice that King, let's talk about Joseph first. Did you know that Joseph was rejected by his own brothers, thrown in the pit, abandoned, forgotten? Hello? Yeah. All those were preparations. But it took one dream interpretation. One download to take him out of the prison. It took one download of David. One, to realize that Goliath was playing with the fire. The day you look at your situation and say it's playing with the fire. David said, who are you? Uncircumcised Philistine. When everyone was seeing a giant, David was seeing an uncircumcised Philistine. This is a download. This now is the third anointing that God puts upon you when you are about to break through. All of a sudden, you begin to have revelations. All of a sudden, your faith is tied up. The reason I'm teaching you this message now, I am teaching you as a download. I am giving you a revelation because you are about to come out of your shaking. Father, thank you. Can you read the scripture? Let's go into the book of Jeremiah 33, verse 3.
Go to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
The word show there, it means it is a Hebrew word, yada. And the word yada, it does not mean to know partially. In fact, it is the anointing where God reveals hidden things. He makes you to know, to discover. It's a place of revelation, mysteries in your spirit. Now, do you know that there are people right now who God gave them a revelation, they downloaded it. What would make you wake up in the morning and just feeling like, you know what? I want to do this. Or I am this. Or I feel like God wants me to do this. That's a download. Yada. Revelation. Something that God shows you. And when you get into this level, look at this now. So, we have David. Everybody sees a shepherd boy. Until a prophet comes and gives him a yada. He says, you'll be a king. From that moment, he had yada. Something was revealed. I am a king. Look at Gideon. The man, he's forgotten. When they were doing recruitment, picking soldiers, he was not even picked. Because he was a weak guy. And all the people in that period who were weak, they were being sent into the farms to be farming. And all strong men were being sent into the military. Gideon was sent to the farm. Until yada happened. When the angel came and he said, you are a mighty man of valor. The moment he was told who he was, everything changed. He said, I'm from the poorest family. He said, and my background is not known. It doesn't matter. Because that was the shaking. That was the preparation. But now you have yada. Somebody shout yada. Now you have yada. Now you know exactly what's going to happen. Now you know that whatsoever you are facing is the price, is the cost. The reason some people give up is because they don't know the cost they are paying for. Hannah could have given up. Am I talking to you? She could have what? Because in fact, she wouldn't have known the cost of people laughing at her that she's barren. In fact, was who? A prophet of God. She'll give birth to a prophet. Oh, let's not even talk about another great woman of God in the Bible. Let's talk about Rachel. And who? And Leah. Rachel, the Bible says God closed her womb, not the devil. She had to wait until she began to make promises. And then boom, she gives birth to a child. And calls the name of that child Joseph. The cost of her suffering was Joseph. A man who will save not only her family, but the whole Egypt and the whole Israel. A man who eventually will host the father, Jacob, and save the whole tribe. Say with me, the cost is too big. If you have a neighbor, say, neighbor. My cost is too much. Say, something great is coming.